Last night to find that she is gone. Now he's spending his first Sunday sitting in the pew alone. There are whispers all around him. His heart breaks in two. He's wondering who will reach out and help him make it through. Who will be Jesus to him? Who'll show the love that restores him again? He doesn't need a judge, he needs a friend. Who will be Jesus to him? She has a reputation like the woman at the well. The only love she ever knew was the kind she buys and sells. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. Who will be Jesus to her? Who'll show she see in us the mighty God we serve? Who will be Jesus to her? Wounded people everywhere, and when they look at us, do they see judge, they need a friend. Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus to them?
Appreciate the good song. Did you write that song?
No.
No. Okay.
The old one. That is really old, yeah. Jesus was still on the earth. Before I hit this record, I give you a little good news. We got our statement in the mail the other day, and we owe $22,000 on the building, so we're dropping it pretty quick. So less than 20 months we'll have it paid for, probably about 18 months, and that'd be a good thing. However, with that great blessing, the state inspector decided to show up and come in. We passed except for one little, well, two little things. I fixed one and the other one's got to be a part ordered. So I'm not sure. I'm already out about $340 and it's not fixed. So you know how that is. That happens at your house. He came out, looked at it and said, oh, I can't fix it. So he's got to order a part. But praise the Lord that we had had the money to pay for it. So, as I said, this morning is going to be a little bit different. If you know, a couple of weeks ago, I started a series. We did some revival type messages, and then we started looking at Thanksgiving messages. And I started asking this question, what will you do? And we looked at one thing to be thankful for is thankful for the transformation. And you'll understand that all these are T's. So, and then I asked the question, what are you going to be thinking? Or what's on your mind in the transformation of things? And we looked at this particular verse, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. For he, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And then last week we looked at being thankful for the testimonies of those of the faith that has been passed on to you. And we looked specifically at faith and how that we should be thankful for it because the people of the past actually passed faith to us. And how in the world could we be saved other than the gospel, the word of God that gives us the faith. It is faith by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it's the faithfulness of people who have passed it on to us, whether it be preacher, teacher, a friend, a neighbor, someone who gave us the gospel, we heard it, God spoke to our hearts, and lo and behold, we got saved. We chose to believe in Him versus a lie. And then this week, we're going to look at something unusual, being thankful for the tabernacle of God. Now, the tabernacle of God, I used a T. I could have done temple, but I just stuck with a tabernacle. I'm not specifically talking about the temple of the Jewish religion or a synagogue. I'm not talking about the tabernacle that went through the wilderness, as the scripture tells us. And I'm not talking about necessarily the church, the building itself. It's you. And I want to say, first of all, that my heart is overwhelmed and thankful and grateful for every single one of you. Those that are here today, those that are not here today, that are sick and traveling. Miss Jackie, she just bowled over when we went to the hospital to see her. She was thankful. She was coming out of, they had taken her for a test, and she was coming down the hallway, and we met her. And she so much wants to be here, desires to be here. She loves their church and church family. And we should, number one, continue to pray for her, but be thankful for her, as well as all of our members. If it wasn't for us, you, we would not have a church. So I thank you. I thank you for being here and choosing this place and God moving you upon this place. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 120. And why I say it's going to be unusual, I'm going to give you a little history behind the Psalms 120 to 134. I'm not going to preach all of those, although I could probably, because all of those chapters are very short. Many of them are only three verses long. Some of them are six verses, some of them eight. But they're very, very small. If you have a Bible and it has the, some Bibles don't have it, it tells you right at the beginning of a psalm what it's for, the music of Asaph, the psalm of David, so on and so forth when he was doing something. These particular psalms have degrees in them. It shows a psalm of degree at the top of it. Mine specifically has a title. For instance, Psalms 21 says, a cry in distress, a psalm of degrees. And every one of them has one of these psalms. It is said that this is the section that is called Ascension Psalms. And the reason they're called Ascension Psalms is because these particular psalms were used by the Jews as they were heading to the temple. There are three feasts during the year that they would go there. And as they were traveling, much like you when you traveled with kids, you remember traveling with kids? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we going to stop? I need to stop. We need to go here. And you're pulling your hair out. Well, in the Jewish tradition, as they traveled, they didn't travel by car or speedboat or anything else. They walked, and they traveled on donkey or camel or whatever it may be. But usually the men were in front, and the ladies were behind them, and the very small children behind them. And in between the ladies and the men were the young boys that were 12, up to 12 years old, as they were becoming a man. That's the way they walked. They walked usually in pairs of two. Families got together, tribes got together, and they walked. And they went towards the temple, and they sang these psalms. And someone has said, I'm not sure how true it is, that because I didn't live back in those days. There's only one guy that I know that probably lived back in the day that Jesus was there in the temple. I won't tell you who he is, but he's among us. No, I'm just kidding. But it was said that they would get to the first step and they would sing Psalms 120. Second step, Psalms 121. Third step, Psalms 20. You get the drift. And so while I'm going to read some of these Psalms, just the first two or three verses, to give you a sense of the children of Israel coming to the temple and worshiping and being thankful for the house of God. So in Psalms 120, and I don't know what that, oh, I forgot. Before we do that, I've got these songs I want to sing to bring some spirit into this worship. I totally forgot about this. Dave, I'm sorry. Here we go. Sorry, Ken. I'm the old guy. Sing, sing, sing. I'm gonna shout, shout, shout. I'm gonna sing, shout. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid the greatest price. Yes, he made the sacrifice. I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna shout and praise the Lord. Repeat it. I'm gonna sing. The Lord paid the greatest price. Yes, he made the sacrifice. I'm going to sing. Sing and sing. I'm going to shout, shout, shout. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. And the Lord. I caught you off guard, so let's do that again. Y'all ready? Mary, this is going to bring back memories, okay? Sing. The Lord, Jesus paid the greatest price. Yes, he made the sacrifice. I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout and praise the Lord. I'm going to sing and shout, going to shout, shout, shout. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout and praise the Lord. Jesus paid the greatest price. Yes, he made the sacrifice. I'm going to sing and I'm going to shout and praise the Lord. I'm going to sing, sing and sing, and I'm going to shout, shout, shout. I'm going to sing, I'm going to shout and praise the Lord. If that's not enough, we got one more. Here we go. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. My Now you're going to sing and move. I had to put you in the mood for this, these Psalms. Put it in perspective that they're singing, going to the temple. Psalms 120 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. In Psalms 121 and verse 1, the Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. And Jerusalem was up on the hill, and everywhere you went to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship, they looked up. And that's the reason that verse is actually there, 122 and verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compacted together. And then Psalms 123, verse number 1, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. 124 and verse number 1, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they that swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would we be at today? And then in verse 125 and verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So the Lord is round about the people from henceforth, even forevermore. Psalms 126 and verse number 1, when the Lord turned again to the captivity of Zion, we were like them that... We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with the singing. Then the Lord had done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Psalms 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, and the watchman waketh but in vain. In Psalms 128 and verse number 1, the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see the children's children and peace upon Israel. That particular psalm that they would sing that song, that's by the way on the eighth step. And they would stop and they would sing about the prosperity of Israel. Through the fact of their women would have children, their men would fear God, and that peace of God would be passed down from generation to generation. Faith, the Bible, the reading of the Scriptures, the worship of God. And they were thankful. They would stop and they would praise God for their entire family as they stood upon that step and they began to sing those praises. In Psalms 133, we're going to skip a few in verse number 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren together in unity. Psalms 134 and verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all servants of the Lord which by night stand in the house of God. Lift up your hands into the sanctuary. Bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. That's a tremendous group of psalms that the children of Israel would sing, and they would do it three times a year, every time they would go to the temple. And if you'll remember, God said the house of God is a house of prayer, and it would be the place where He would meet you there. And so as they walked up in the old days, as they walked towards the tabernacle and now towards the temple of God, the Shekinah glory of God would shine down upon that place, and they would know He was there. And so as they approached, there was this great fear but anticipation of the greatness of things that were about to take place. They were getting ready to offer sacrifices for their sins. They were getting ready to thank God for the blessing that they gave in the harvest. And all of those things would come up in their, swell up in their hearts, and they would teach it to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Where have we missed it in America? One of the things we miss is we've missed parents taking their kids to just church and teaching these songs. When I was going to church, and my mom and dad would always kind of strike up some songs and we'd sing on the way there. We drove about 10, 15 minutes to church. Took us that long. We drove across town to church when I was growing up. And to pass the time, we would sing. There are many families who miss that singing. They're screaming and hollering and grabbing their phone and wanting to play. Can I have your phone? I want your phone. And playing all kinds of games on the phone rather than singing praises to God. Israel was a great nation because of this kind of worship. God watched over them and took care of them. And as long as they worshiped God and God was the center of their life, they were blessed. But when they removed God out of their life and when they went into the world and did their own things, it's when things fell apart. It was destroyed. Matter of fact, twice in the Old Testament, the temple of God was destroyed. He didn't spare anything. When the children of Israel disobeyed Him and went away from Him, He even destroyed the very place that they worshiped because they didn't honor Him. And so He destroyed it. Thanksgiving is a time for us to thank God and thank others for our blessings. Sometimes Thanksgiving can be very selfish. If you think that you deserve something, you might say, "I thank you," very quickly and rapidly, instead of really in-depth thinking about the goodness and the greatness what someone gives to you and offers to you. Sometimes you can be thankful without even saying the word thanks. It's your actions afterward and what you do to follow up with thanks. We remove ourselves from us, from ourselves, and we put ourselves in someone else's place. When I was at the hospital walking through, and I do this many times, most every time I go to the hospital, you see people that don't have anybody. You see people up there that no one's watching them, no one's caring for them, no one's talking to them, and they're in the hospital bed all by themselves. Some don't have family, some do have family. Some are talking on the phone, and they're loved one is at a distance. As Julie's saying, who's going to be Jesus for them, for those people? Thanksgiving is a time for us to look beyond ourselves and do something for someone else. In the New Testament, we find a completely different venue. The temple of God, God said that He would meet His people there and they should come with thanksgiving in their heart and praise and humble. In the New Testament, we find Jesus there, and He came to this earth to give us the Word of God and to be that temple, to show Himself to the world that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when He died, it ushered in the church age. And in Acts chapter 2, we find the characteristics of the church. Chapter 2, verse 41 beginning, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, they had all things in common." And going on in verse number 45, "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to give you five things real quick and I'm through. You can go through this passage and look at the characteristics of the church, the New Testament church. What was it? You may come up with some new ones, but I've come up with a few I want us to pay attention to. First of all, they were eager to believe with an action to hear the message of God. In verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. They were eager to hear it. They wanted to hear it. They couldn't live without hearing it. In the same day, there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continued steadfastly. And I want you to notice there's four things there that they were eager about. One, there was about the doctrine of the apostles. Two, the fellowship of each other. Three, the breaking of the bread, which we did this morning, and in prayers. They were excited about coming to church, eager. They wanted to hear God's word. They were excited about being with each other. Back in those days, they were separated. Families were, you know, they were hundreds of miles apart. Here today, we have just a, you know, few hundred feet from each other, but we won't even talk to each other. They came from all over the place, and they fellowshipped. And not only did they fellowship, but they gave fellowship in their communion and prayers to God. The second thing was that they were electrified in their oneness towards each other. The Bible says in verse 43, and the fear came upon every soul, not just one, not just a group, but every single one. They feared Him, not scared to death, but in a reverence way they called to God. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. They were with the same mind and same accord, and when they moved together, they moved together as a unit. When they prayed together, they prayed together as a unit. When they went out into the community to help someone, they went out together as a whole group. And they didn't say that, well, that's not important to me. They were together as a unit. They were called a church. They listened to the gospel. They were eager to do work and help people. They saw great things because of that. The third thing, not only were they eager to believe with an action to hear, and they were electrified with oneness, but they were engaged. They were not only engaged in each other, in the ministry, but in the community. The Bible says, and they sold all their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had as they had need. In verse 46, the first part of it says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were together. They were engaged with each other. It was something important to them. It was of value to them. It was something that they were focused on. It was something that almost something, they couldn't be drawn away from it. They were drawn to the church and drawn to each other. They were bound together by the blood of Christ and Him crucified and the prayers of many people and the fellowship and the food and that they had a great time. The third thing is they evangelized. Verse 46, the remaining part of that, and they broke bread, or breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They went out into the community. They shared the communion. They shared their testimony. They talked about what great things God had done. They shared their possessions. They sold their possessions to give to the poor and the needy. They were engaged and moving the gospel, spreading it all over the world. They also evangelized as they went out door to door. They told the story of Jesus and the very communion that they were given, what God had done for them. They spread it from neighbor to neighbor, community to community. And that's how the church grew. The Bible says they were added to daily. And the last thing is, in verse 47, We see that they were being edified, that is, built up, growing up, as well as edifying others. Verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. Every day, people were added. They were engaged in Bible studies and the Bible reading, and they were calling one another, and well, they weren't calling each other, but they were visiting one another house to house, door to door, checking on them, making sure they was all right, mending fences that were broken down, not holding or harboring hate and anger. They forgave and had mercy. They were being lifted up by the Lord as they were lifting the Lord up. When we get our minds and our life off of us and put it solely on God and what He's done, if it had not been for God, where would you be today? What would you have? And it doesn't matter that you have very little. Because if you look at these people, they had nothing. They sold everything. They believed God was going to restore whatever they sold in giving to the poor. They didn't even care how rich or how poor they were. They only focused on God. They only focused on Him and praising Him and glorifying Him because He'd done so many great things. Some had been healed, and some of their kids have been healed as well. And so they were grateful, thankful. America used to be that way, grateful and thankful for America. They used to be grateful and thankful for the soldiers who fought and gave us the freedom, but now it's a distant past. We're far removed from any kind of war or any kind of loss of life. And we have forgotten the sacrifices and what made America great. Do you remember having community cookouts, hot dog, hamburger? Even the festivals around here are going low in number. Churches are emptying out and being sold. I saw another church just recently that put a for sale sign up at their church. We're losing what has really brought us to where we are. The children of Israel, sadly to say, Jesus prophesied when He was living that the temple would be destroyed, and sure enough it was. In less than about 37 years of Him living, the temple, that great temple that they sang to, the temple they would go worship to, even this great event that took place in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem would suffer tremendous pain and suffering. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul has taken up a collection for the church because it's so poor and needy because of the destruction of the temple. Faith was lost in many respects. And we need to get back to this, as I gave a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago. If My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This Thanksgiving, do some soul searching for yourself. Consider, are you thankful, really thankful? Are you moved? Are you thankful for our church and the people that are in it? There's so many things that have happened here and many things that this church has offered to many people. And I'm thankful for you, many hands that worked, many things that we've done. But we still need to spread the gospel in this community. We need to be viable. We need to be engaged. We need to be engaged with each other. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this Thanksgiving letter or note to each other so that we would be consciously minded of each other. We've prayed for many people in this church, and they've been touched and healed and some saved. And I believe we can continue, and we should continue praying that God would heal and touch and save people in this church. Amen? And we are it. We, with God's help, can do it. I want us to sing this song in closing. It's a prayer. Let's all stand. My life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today and the blessings You've given to us. And God, I pray that You would now be with us and continue to bless us as a church. Lord, bind our hearts together in fellowship with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.